All right, praise the Lord. Okay, now, we have started a new series last Sunday. Okay, what is it called? The Gospel Explained. All right, so we're going to do a lot of explanation. Now, the beauty is that we are going through or explore the book of Romans. Say with me, Romans. Now, how many of you realize the book of Romans is unique in certain sense? Because Paul wrote that epistle, okay, in a normal case, he wrote to the church, okay, that he has planted, people that he has seen, right? So it's unique because he has not met them. And when he's writing to them, he's writing to the Roman Christian church, which is both non-Jews and Jews, all right? So a bit recap, okay, of last week, all right? How many of you enjoyed the message last week? All right, okay, now, I don't know, I'll take you to another deeper of understanding the gospel. At the same time, my heart is that you take home, okay, and understand one of the book, okay, of the New Testament, okay, this year, all right, now. The author, none other than Apostle Paul, written in between 57, 58, around there, and then to whom the Roman Christian Church, all right, now. You also hear me saying that when he wrote that, because okay, wanting to go to Spain and then at the same time going to Rome. And he also hears situation that's taking place, okay, in the Roman church, and he's trying to address that. At the same time is to bring, okay, the answers, okay, to them is none other than the gospel. So the gospel explained and in order to bring unity, okay, in the church. Now, in anyhow, when you read the book of Romans, it's doctrinal in nature, all right? Then the whole lot, okay, of the gospel explained, okay? So that's where, okay, the book Romans is going right now. So last, with that, we try to put it at four blocks: power, purpose, pattern, and practice. So we are doing the first block, okay, on the power, which we're going to review, okay, what gospel is all about, okay, from chapter 1 to chapter 4, okay, to give you, okay, an idea, where are we heading? So in this block one, we're going to have six parts. Okay, last week, we talked about unashamed. Today, we'll talk about unrighteousness. And some of our leaders, okay, coach, okay, will help me, okay, to preach, okay, in this series, all right, now. Last week, just a bit of recap on unashamed. We touched on verse 1 to verse 17, all right? So in this chapter 1, we're going to have two parts. So last week, dig on the first part from verse 1 to verse 17, which Paul gave his salutation or his introduction of who he is, because he's writing to, okay, to the Roman Christian church, okay, that he addressed himself as a servant, as an apostle, and set apart for the gospel, all right? So that's a very good way if you were to introduce yourself, okay? How do you introduce yourself? Three things that you can introduce yourself. That's verse one, okay, how Paul, okay, introduced himself. Then the theme, okay, the theme verse, okay, as far as Romans concerned, verse 14 to 17 carry, okay, that theme. Okay, can you read it with me? 1, 2, 3. I am obligation both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jews first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Father God, I commit all of us into your hands, even as we explore the book of Romans. Help us, Lord, to understand and take us deeper into the word, even as we explore the book of Romans. I give thanks. I pray this in Jesus' name. Everyone say, amen. All right. So with that, that is Paul's attitude towards, okay, the gospel of Jesus Christ, or when he speaks, okay, to, okay, the Christians, okay, in Rome. But that is how his approach to, okay, the gospel, which is these three declaration, okay, that he said, I am obligated, I am eager, and I am not ashamed, okay, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For us all, is that whenever we come to the gospel or when we come to the word of God, where do we stand? Are we also obligated? Are you able to say, I'm a debtor, okay, to the gospel of Jesus Christ? When you think about the gospel, when you think about the word, are you eager or not, all right, and not ashamed, all right? So I also give you a background. For them, they're living in their context, living in those years, if they were to say, Jesus is Lord, When he says that, when Paul says, I am eager, another version says, I am ready. That means he is ready to withstand or come against, not come against, to go through the persecution that they are having, okay, in those era or right now. So with that, I give you the question of why is Paul obligated, eager, unashamed of the gospel, giving you the five reasons. In fact, there are many reasons, but as we narrow down to the scripture from verse 1 okay, to 17, okay, the five things that I talk about is that the gospel is the gospel of God. It's God, originated from Him, all right? It's not something that the apostle derived and come about. The gospel is gospel of God, originated from God Himself. It's for everyone, okay? The gospel is God's powerful plan. It has a power to save, all right? Then we're going to expound a bit more, okay? Why is it power to save, okay, to everyone who believes? God's righteousness is revealed, verse 17, okay, which we're going to continue from verse 17 and see what is the second half, okay, of Romans chapter 1. And then the whole gospel is all about Jesus Christ. Jesus is the center, yes, which is also for us. Each time when we look at our life, are we a carrier of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Which means also the next question we ask ourselves, is Jesus in the center of my life? Okay, my personal life, my family life, my working life, okay, whichever life that you're having, is Jesus there, all right? Is Jesus with you? Now, talking about gospel, the other word for gospel is good news. In Greek, it's called evangelion, okay, a joyful proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, His birth, death, and resurrection. Okay, so our belief, okay, center on this, anchor on this, His birth, death, and resurrection, all right? You take out His birth, death, and resurrection, there's nothing we're going to talk about, all right? We can all go home. Now, last Sunday, I explained about this evangelion, that means a messenger who carry the good news. Who carry the news, that means it's a military word, okay? The army that went out, they win the war, the general sent the messenger to come back to the city and tell the king, we have won, all right? But how do they communicate to all of them? Okay, they have a way where they burn the incense. So the moment, okay, which means how are they going to get ready? Because the general is going to come back with his army. The victory they're going to celebrate. So which means when they wake up in the morning and they could smell, wow, the aroma, they all get ready because, okay, their general is coming back. So likewise for all of us, okay, we have the King Jesus, okay, who sent Jesus down the cross, okay, the gospel that we have. Okay, each time when we think about gospel, do people, when they come to you, do they smell it? Do they feel it? Okay, the gospel, okay, the life that we live, all right, now. Last Sunday when we ended that, okay, verse 17 that says, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. That was the first part ending with verse 17. Now, we're going to move on to verse 18, and that's the second part of Romans chapter 1. Verse 17 is the very verse where sparked the reformation, okay, of revival of the Christian world, okay, where the Protestant world came about, okay. So based on that verse 17, Martin Luther, okay, caused that reformation that is to take place. Now, when you read verse 1 to verse 17, wow, the righteous shall live by faith. I don't know what will you expect. I will be expecting, wow, so the righteous shall live by faith. How? Okay, so I'm going to wanting to read from verse 18 onwards how Paul is going to teach us to live, how the righteous shall live by faith, all right? But it doesn't turn out to be that way. So as we go through the second portion of chapter 1 of verse 18 onwards, Paul took a 90-degree turn. It's like suddenly he turned a 90-degree and he go to another direction, okay, where he talk about the sinfulness of man. I don't know, man, today we're going to hear about unrighteousness, okay? Today's topic is unrighteousness. But before that, when you think about, okay, unrighteousness, today part two is on unrighteousness. Explain what is it all about. Now, go back to here, good news. How many of you like to hear good news? Yes. What about bad news? No. There are many jokes on good news and bad news. I read one. The doctor came in to the patient and said, I have good news and bad news for you. All right. So normally when you hear people asking you good news or bad news, what would you want to hear first? Bad news. All right. So the okay, anyway. Okay. Now the doctor came in and said, okay, so you want to hear good news or bad news? So the Joe go like this, okay, so what is it? So the doctor said, wow, you have seven days to live. That's bad news, right? Okay. Then they said, what about the other news? I'm supposed to tell you 7 days ago. Okay, all right. Oh, friends. Okay, so good news and bad news. Friends, so I was just thinking about having good news and bad news. Which one do people really want, okay, to hear? But in order to understand good news, you also need to know what is the bad news. All right? Now, I was just thinking about this. We would not appreciate what is good news until we know how bad is the news. True? All right? But to balance it, a good news does not depend on the bad news. A good news does not depend on bad news, all right? But when you think about good news, if you understand what is bad news, then it makes the good news really mean, all right? And when you understand the bad news, wow, I better believe on the good news. But the problem with the world today is there are too many bad news and fake news, true? So that is where, okay, our part, okay, is where we stand whenever we come to the good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Now, when we know about the bad news, it turned out to be the bad news make the good news more glorious. In a sense, All right. Now, when you think about what good or what good news is, how do people really appreciate something that is good? Now, isn't it true that human are like this, okay? We do not know how to appreciate life or how good life until something terrible happens. Yes? Simple as stories like, I have one funny story is that when during my schooling days, all right, in USM, I borrowed a friend's motorcycle, all right? Now, after done, I need to pump the petrol, all right? Now, so what happened is I searched, oh, I need to pump the petrol. So I went to a petrol station, Those days, you don't pump on yourself, okay? You have an attendant to pump for you. So I reached there, I said, Sato. So this is a motorcycle. So the moment he took and pumped, then I saw it's two. I said, Sato, I heard you say two. Bad enough. I said, I got Sato saja. Wow, Sato ringgit. So I searched all my bag. Thank God I have coins everywhere. They accumulate another satu ringgit. Okay, they pay my. So what I'm saying is, you won't appreciate your satu ringgit and your coins until when you really need them. Right? True or not? You won't understand what it means by 0.1 second. What is 1.1 second, man? Probably you need to ask the fastest man on earth. Who could that be? Usain Bolt. But actually, you should ask the one that was beaten by 0.1 second. Because the second man lost by 0.1 second. Well, remember, 0.1 second really mean a lot to him. All right? True? All right. So what I'm saying is, we will not appreciate what is good news until we know how bad the news is. How bad the news can be. You can also ask someone how to appreciate 9 months. If you were to ask a mother who's conceived, what the 9 months be if she lost the baby? Well, that you will not appreciate the good news until you know how bad is the news. So that's where the direction I'm going is when we come to the second part of Romans 1, verse 18 and 32. Paul described about unrighteousness. The gospel explained. Okay, how bad has the world has become? Now, think for a moment. Now, this is in those era, no? During AD, the 50s, during those days, not 1950s, this AD, the first century, okay, already taking place. Okay, now, verse 18 to 20, reading this passage, all right? Now, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived even since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. So which means I'm going to talk about bad news today. What is bad news? This bad news is the human race has been found guilty, which the wrath of God is coming. The wrath of God is revealed, okay, from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Anything you think that is unholy, anything that you think is wickedness, okay, the wrath of God, okay, is, okay, coming. Okay, that's what it says here right now. So sometimes we think about, wow, gospel, we're going to talk about good news. We're going to talk about the love of God. We're going to talk about the mercy of God. We're going to talk about God loves you. God cares for you, you know, when we share the gospel. True? Okay, God loves you. God cares for you. I pray for you. I care for you. Jesus loves you. I love you too. But friends, how many of us will actually talk about the wrath of God when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Wow. So the second part, that's why I'm saying that Paul suddenly take a 90-degree turn and he switched about how to live a righteous life. Now he talk about wrath of God coming against ungodliness, okay, unrighteousness. All right. Now, I want to say that if you want to take the book of Romans seriously, we can't skip this passage. This passage probably cannot preach anymore. You know, when I just came back from the country, that I just came back, then I was told, Pastor, there are certain things you cannot preach here. You probably can get sued. Some of the identity issues and all those, cannot. So we got to be careful with what we say. Wow. So that's the world that we are living somehow now, all right, now. So sometimes when you think about what we're going to read here, all right, when you think about some people that you know, wow, Pastor, this one, all nice, nice people. But then they rejected Christ. So back in your mind, it's like, wow, if I don't continue to tell them what is going to take place, in our mind is that they will end up in hell one day. And that's the truth. All right? And that's where Paul is addressing today. And sometimes when you want to bring those truth, you're going to offend many other people. And it'll be so disheartening when you know so-and-so is so good, so nice, so kind, but rejected the gospel. And all the more if it is your own family members. Oh, all right? Now, on the other hand, do you know that the Bible says about wrath, the wrath of God, more than the love of God? Do you know that? Do you know that God spoke about hell more than heaven? All right, now, so when you think about it, the Bible is filled with warning, okay, about God's wrath and eternal judgment. And there's no secret, okay, about it. It's more of whether we articulate that or not. Of course, we don't want to be a doom preacher, lah. We don't want to be a wrath preacher, all right? Right now. So isn't it true when they think about wrath, we probably think about the angry face of our teacher. Or parents who hold a cane. Okay, because you play somewhere in the rain and your mom is ready to cane, okay, now. So when we think of all those, or sometimes a cartoon that we used to watch, or the Jews, okay, with some god up in the cloud there holding the thunderbolt, okay, going to strike you anytime. But that is not what God talked about. That all those that I said probably is the uncontrollable anger, but it's not the wrath of God. God, in that sense, does not lose temper, okay, in that sense, okay, as much as what love is, peace, faith, forgiveness, and all those God's attributes, wrath is also part of God's attribute. Okay, all right. Are y'all there with me? Yes. All right. So now, God's holiness. Listen to this. God's holiness cannot and will not coexist with sin in any form whatsoever. Okay. Now, so God's wrath is considered the God's holy anger. So when you think about sin, God cannot overlook. Okay, sin. God cannot pretend it's not there. Because sometimes for us human, right, well, we think about all the grace that we need to pour in, okay, something that is wrong, we pretend that it's not there, and we try to exercise some grace. Hopefully, okay, this person will change and all those. Friends, when you deal with God's holiness, it's not like that, all right? Now, do you know when people can never get saved if they do not know that they are lost? How many of you have friends that they drive you and say, hey, wrong way lah, wrong way. And the driver say, I know this way, this is the right way. As you know, then you realize it's wrong way, all right? The driver discovered it's wrong way. How many of you have gone into this right now? Don't say, that's my wife, my husband. Okay, now, normally, okay, so happen that way. Now, so unless man knows, okay, that he is a sinner, he cannot appreciate God's gracious salvation in Christ Jesus. Because why I need to save? Why you keep on telling me I need to get saved? Why? All right, so unless, okay, a person know that he's a sinner, he cannot appreciate, okay, God's gracious salvation. All right, now, so with that, okay, in verse 17, it reveals that the righteousness of God, the gospel reveals the righteousness of God. Turn to verse 18, the gospel reveals the wrath of God. All right, now, so I'm going to explain two sections and then we'll see where we go. All right, now, this one scripture, three reasons. Did I have my scripture here? Wait, huh? Okay, now my three reasons why the wrath of God is revealed. Talking about the wrath is coming, Colossians 3, 5, 6 states there. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Okay, the earthly desire, okay, all those, okay. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil, desire, covetousness, which is adultery. On account of this, the wrath of God is coming. Some of you wonder now, why I'm coming to church this morning to hear the wrath of God. I want good news, man. Friend, if you really want to study the book of Romans, this passage, we cannot overlook it. All right, now, two reasons. Number one, why the wrath of God? One, the human race has fully suppressed the truth. All right, now, so verse 18 says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. You know, when we read verse 19, it says that everybody knows who God is. Everybody know what is holiness. Everybody know what is righteousness. So the world today is touched, okay, talking about ungodliness, unrighteousness. But when they cross that line, they will suppress the truth. Okay, the truth is such is a word that means deliberately reject the truth in the face. Okay, when they know the truth, you just press. It won't happen, it won't happen one. But we know it will. All right, so that sometimes when you tell your children, all right, when they are growing up, don't touch. This one will burn you. What will happen? Human nature, you want to touch. Don't go there, it's dangerous. The truth is dangerous, don't go there. Still want to go. So human are like that, all right? So when they cross that, we'll surprise it. Okay, so now, we learned about the gospel is for everyone. Okay, last week we talked about that. And then the gospel has the power to save. But how many of us, that is the truth. But how many of us knew that it will come a time, the time is over? There was a question asked is, what if I only want to accept Christ when I die and I go to heaven and I tell Jesus I want to accept Christ? Friends, time is over, game over already. You're supposed to make that decision while you are alive on earth. So when the time is over, it is the judgment day. Okay, those who have rejected the gospel will have no excuse. That's how we read in verse 20, right? There will be no excuse. You cannot go to God and say, I don't know, my friend, he Christian, never tell me exactly. He only tell me half only. He say, oh, good, good, good one. Never tell me about the wrath, habis. Okay, so there will be no excuse, okay, to that right now. Suppressing the truth. Okay, so verse 36 says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. How many of us actually quote this verse? Never. We only quote John 3:16. 20 words later, no, we don't quote this, all right? True or not? Okay, now. So, number one, the human race has willfully suppressed the truth. Number two, the human race has denied the Creator. So from verse 19 to 20, this is what says here. For what can be known about God is plain to them. Everybody knows, okay, that's God, okay? Because God has shown it to them. When you look at the creation, okay, when you talk about the Creator, you think about the creation. When you think about a painting, that is a painter, okay? When you think about, wow, very nice, right? Well, who planted these trees? Wow, praise the Lord. Okay, now. There's somebody who placed it there right now. Okay, so when you think about a building, there's a builder, there's an architect, okay, that we don't see. Who's the builder of this one? We have not seen them. Who's the architect? We don't know. All right, now we have not seen them. Now, so when you think about the creator, we think about his creation. So verse 20, for his invisible attribute, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. So as I talk about the creator, there's about creation. Now, do you know that why people rejected the creator or the creation story? So they have all other hypotheses, okay, all other theory. Friends, their hypothesis and their theory, hypothesis and theory means they have not been proven, all right? Now, and this is because, why they reject that? This is because if they could do that, if they could deny the creator, which means who becomes the creator? Who have all the say? Humans have all the say. So that they could live a life to cheat, to lie, to sin, whatever, whoever they like. Because there's no God to be accountable to. So they will live, okay, their own life. They become their own boss. There's no need to subject to any authority, values, and righteousness. Just imagine the country without government, there's no law. You can shoot anyone you like. Those days are here. If you live in the cowboy days, you don't like anybody. Cowboy days, all right now. So by thinking that, having those thinking, right, they are saying that there's no way God can judge me because there's no creator. I'm the own boss, right? So with that, people do not acknowledge, okay, the existence of God. And those people are normally coined as the term called atheists, okay, atheists or atheists. So the whole belief system is atheism. Now, how many of you realize that atheism, people who say they do not believe God, is the most unnatural philosophy belief on the face of the earth? Why? All right. Sometimes you think that those who believe in either, at least they believe in something, they believe in God, all right? They believe in God. They believe, in other words, they believe there is some high power outside himself. For atheists, does not. Now, an atheist, not only he deliberately denied the truth about God, he also repeatedly suppressed the truth that God is not found in his own conscience. Because God created us with a conscience, okay, to know what is right and wrong. An atheist will suppress the truth. Okay, that's what it means, all right? Now, however, let me tell you that it takes more faith not to believe in God. It takes more faith to believe how this thing come about. Okay, so that is number two. Number three, the human race has turned to idolatry. Okay, verse 21 to 23 that says, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they become futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of immortal God for images resembling mortal men and birds and animals and creeping things. So you can see the progression that is taking place. They knew God, but they did not honor him or give thanks. Okay, their mind has become futile and hearts. Can you see? From their mind to their heart, everything, okay, of man has become that way. All right, now, which means when you read this scripture, means the problem is not that they lack of knowledge. Can you see that? Because they know. It's just that they want to ignore it. They're suppressing the truth as well. Men rather, in this case, because the wrath of God came because human race has turned to idolatry. So that means men rather have idols of their own liking and choosing. Okay? So it's the whole picture of they are trying to get rid of God, the Creator. So instead of worshipping God, they're all worshipping an image of their own making and liking. Why? Because if it's subject to God, they have to worship God, subject to God. But when they worship something of their image and liking, who controls this image? Self. Self become God. You want God to wear nicer lah. Okay, you want to clean, you don't want to clean. Okay, up to you. All right, so what's my point? The point is when one turns away from God, he or she will always turn on something else. No man lives in a vacuum. It's either worship God or replace with God of their own making. All right? So that's where the wrath of God is coming right now. Moving forward to last part, verse 24 to 32. Okay, what we are going to read will probably the most, I don't know, when you read that, what do you feel? You're going to be the most terrible or most shocking passage probably you ever read. So, which means, what happens when men turn away from God? What happens? Verse 24, 32. And there's a phrase that came out three times, threefold. And the answer is, God gave them up. Three times appear, which I'm going to show you, okay, in this passage. And we're going to conclude, okay, by then, all right? So what does it mean by God gave them up? Okay, it means that it's the act of God whereby He hands over human race for judgment. That means you got to face your own consequences. How many of you try to counsel somebody, you try to advise somebody and all those, and just refuse to hear what you say? You just have to come to a place, okay, I've done my part, you do your way. You just like giving them up. You can do and face the consequences yourself. And you realize that, oh yeah, I really need God. And that process of time needed, you have wasted, okay, the lives that you should be giving God, serving God, loving God, all right, now. So what are these three areas? Okay, when we read verse 24 to 32, you just realize that how Paul has described in his era, the downward progress of human race, okay, moving, steadily moving away, okay, from God, from bad to worse and worse still, all right, now. Number one. Verse 24 to 25, moral impurity. I search another version, say, shameful lust. All right, now, verse 24. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to dishonoring their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. So God gave them up for this reason. Okay, the shameful lust, the moral impurity. So when men invent their own God, so what does that mean? That means they have gods of their own making. They rewrite their own rules, okay, of their human conduct, and they can live however they like. Is it happening? Yes, until today. Okay, it's still happening. The Ten Commandments no longer apply. Can you see that? Because it's on their own. Okay, they write their own law now. Okay, there's no fear of judgment. So that's where it's written here, men exchange the truth of God for a lie. The lie is that man, okay, make his own God. Okay, so they worship and serve, okay, that image or and not Creator. All right, now, this is exact representation, right, from the Garden of Eden, how Eve was being lured, okay, to sin. Does God say that? Did God really tell you that? If you eat this, wow, you become like God. All right, so it's the same issue, situation that took place. All right, now, so that's number one. The wrath of God, what happens to men, okay, with the wrath of God, number one. Number two, God gave them up again, okay, the second one will be verse 26, 27, the dishonorable passion, okay, so verse 26, for this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passion, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to the nature. You know what's that? And men likewise gave up natural relation with women. Husband and wife supposed to get married. What happened? They gave them up and were consumed with a passion for one another. Men committing shameless act with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty of their error. That's where the direction of the world is going. I come to a place where, okay, just now I mentioned already. Okay, Pastor, I cannot say all, any of this. Huh? Don't say, huh? Say already, happy. Okay, so, wow, what is happening to our society today? People get offended, okay, can sue you, you know, things like that. So where is our society today? So man is confused with their sexual orientation, okay, because they have moved away, okay, from what God says, the truth. Imagine Apostle Paul writing this in the, saying that in the 50s, all right, such shameful act already existed. And And this is what happened when men choose to turn away from God. So in that sense, right, evil is like no longer evil. It's something that is accepted. Okay, it's something that people do not know how to distinguish between male and female anymore. All right. Coming back from the country that I came, visited, I was told, okay, that in the school, right, in the school education, when your children sent to the school is not going to teach them, hey, you are a boy, you are a girl. That cannot be taught anymore. I was like, oh dear. When we used to teach our children kindergarten song, nursery song, immediate song, I am a boy and you are a girl, cannot sing anymore. All right? So today, in many countries, you can't say a lot of these things anymore. Somehow, you can't differentiate what is right, okay, and wrong. The world is changing. Homosexuality, okay, which was once profane, is now tolerated, accepted, and praised, okay, finally, and strive to become ultimate freedom. That's the direction, okay, the world that is going. What a shame, all right? So when you look at the Bible, probably come to a place. Bible also cannot be taken as the main text anymore, all right? It's in that sense, when you look at this, it's perversion, it's evil and wrong. Okay, strangely, is that when I became the facilitator for the No-Apologies workshop, okay, now, then we have all these statistics, okay, to show the students, okay, statistics about how many percent, all right, statistics about people who are infected by STD disease, sexually transmitted disease. That's happening all around the world, and Malaysia has been warned by WHO, World Health Organization, about a pandemic that is in our country. Have you ever heard about that? Nobody want to talk about that. How many of you go to the general hospital, or you go to the clinic, okay, which is Sungai Dua? How many of you signed the signboard? Have you tested on AIDS? How many of you really seen that banner? No, so, okay, I saw all those. All right, now, this is what happening, all right? Number three, wrath of God, because of debased mind. What happened? God gave up, okay? And since they do not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. Okay, what does debased mind or depraved mind? A mind that cannot form right judgment because they have abandoned it, so-called, they abandoned themselves to sin. Okay, that's what it means. So because men, okay, did not even want to retain God in his knowledge. So that's what, okay, happened. Okay, verse 29 and says, okay, they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. Okay, continue. They are gossip, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. Okay, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. What are the less? Okay, and Paul somehow named, okay, so many, okay, in that list, about 20 of them, and all of them show a kind of hatred. What else? A kind of disregard, okay, of others in all level of relationship. When you think about that, that's crazy, right? So the warning is, let me tell you, the worst is yet, okay, to come when you read this. Can you imagine the world that we live where they distrain of all this? All right? What kind of society or community that we are living? So it will be a total social collapse, total moral depravity that takes place. Why do I say that? Verse 32. Though they know God's righteous decree, they know. Everybody know. You ask anyone who has done wrong, right? You ask which is right. They know. Have you ever disciplined your children? They know. I talk to many teachers. You talk to students. They know. But yet, to that, those who practice such things deserve to die, right? They deserve punishment. They not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them. Wow. I look at another version. This one, paraphrase one, even straightforward. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them. Wow. what society that we are living today. All right. Now, in other words, tell me how far man has fallen. What society that we are living today, and all of us who hold on, to the gospel of Jesus Christ, what are we going to do? Are we going to stand, on the promise and what we believe? So as I close, what we have learned today and last week that lead us to the very reason why Paul said this, why Paul say, and I encourage all of us also the same, that we are obligated, eager, and not ashamed to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I go to amen? All right. So as I end, because one, God's wrath is coming. Number two, man's going to hell because they are sinners. Number three, Jesus is the only way to salvation. I want to stress this. So people go to hell because they rejected the gospel. Yes. Because they didn't hear Jesus. They didn't accept Jesus. They go to hell. Correct? True or not? Is this too blunt to say that? Friends, it's not. It's not because they rejected Christ. It's not because they accept Christ and they go to heaven. I mean, yes, all right? But people go to hell, it's not because they rejected Christ. Before Jesus come, everybody goes to hell. People, human go to hell because human are sinners. Not because they rejected Christ. Can you get it? All right? Now, so with that, right? Revising so, there is no other way. There's only one way, Jesus. There's no other name. It's only Jesus' name. There's no other foundation other than what is laid, Jesus Christ. You want to take a photo? Okay, take. Okay, now, next. Jesus did not come to save us from sin. Let me repeat. Jesus did not come to just save us from sin. Can you get it? So because each time we go, we say, because you got to know Christ, you got to accept the gospel. But the other side is, today when we learn, Jesus came to save us from God. Which is, save us from the wrath of God. When you think about the gospel, it's to save us from the wrath of God. Yes, thank you. All right, now. Which means, I'd like to explain this word very quickly. Jesus came as the propitiation. Say with me, propitiation. Big word. Okay, now, it's the propitiation of our sin, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. So when someone is angry, have you met someone who's angry? Or you have made someone angry? Your father, mother, your boss, or whatever, right? So how to appease this person? Well, you buy a bird nest lah, you bring for dinner lah, you bring a bak kwa lah, you be durian lah, to appease this person. All right, now, when you think about the wrath of God, it's not bringing bak kwa to Jesus. No, you can bring bak kwa to me. Okay, now, it's Jesus on the cross. So when Jesus came, he did this part, propitiation, to appease God, to propitiate God's wrath. That's what it means. So when Jesus came, it's not just to save us from sin, but to save us from the wrath of God. Is that good? Amen? All right, so let's pray. Before Shitin will come back. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. If you want to take this, I'll pray over this. All right? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, today I thank you. As we learn the book of Romans, as we explore and study and go through line by line, as doing a repository of the Word of God. Father, today, even as we're just touching chapter 1 alone, Father, there's so much to explain the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for Apostle Paul for laying that all down. And Father, I pray that all of us, as we read the book of Romans, taking that step to understand a bit more. Father, today as we understand about God's wrath, the wrath of God, Jesus came not just to take away our sin, but He came so that to save us from the wrath of God. You did the part of propitiation. Father, when you do that, God's justice is now satisfied. God's wrath is now turned away because the price of sin has been paid. God's mercy is now fully made available. I commit all of us into your hands. For any one of us get to know and receive Jesus Christ, I pray that you will make that decision, and all those who are watching online as well. Okay, some things that are spoken in the Bible may have offended you. But friends, let me tell you, if not God offended you or the word of God offended you, I do not know who will be. Father, I pray, oh God, Lord, okay, for all of us, that we will stand, okay, on the word and the promises, okay, that you have laid in the Bible. I give thanks. I pray this in Jesus' name. Everyone say, amen. Let's give Jesus a big hand.